Pennsylvania is one of only three states that doesn't have a predictable, student-weighted funding formula. This is Multiple Choices, a Keystone Crossroads podcast that pulls back the curtain on issues of schools and money in Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Kevin McCrory, and today we're unpacking the concept of a fair funding formula. Joining me is Paul Sokolar, editor-in-chief and publisher of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook.
Really good to be here, Kevin.
So we're talking about fair funding formula. I feel like, you know, it gets thrown around by politicians and educators so often that the words just kind of lose meaning to our ears, right? Fair funding formula, you hear it, you don't know what people are talking about, you move on. Right. Try to make it matter to me, Paul. What is a fair funding formula?
Okay. The first point with a fair funding formula, I think, is that states' job around education funding is really to equalize some of the disparities that would be there otherwise if the state didn't chip in. You've got some local districts with tremendous property wealth or other revenue sources that allow them to put plenty of money into schools, and you have others that really simply don't have the capacity to fund education at a basic level. And so, you know, the basic job of a funding formula is to come up with some way of addressing that, of making sure that across the state that that schools are funded in a fair way.
Obviously, it's a redistribution, right? There's just no way around the fact that, you know, there's a wealthy district, their schools are going to be better, but the state's role, you're saying, is to step in and say, well, let's lift up that district next door that doesn't have the ability that they have.
Absolutely, yeah. That's, I mean, what state contributions for education are basically redistributive, that the goal is to get more money into the districts that, you know, simply don't have enough.
So even with the best formula, quote unquote, whatever the best formula would be, and a lot of money behind it coming through that formula, can you ever imagine a situation where there's really going to be equity between a wealthy district and a non-wealthy district? Isn't that inequity just always going to be there? There's always going to be parents who are willing to pay more to make sure their kid's school is just a little bit better.
I think that's true. You know, I think that's absolutely right. I think there's a camp among advocates for a fair funding formula who argue that there needs to be an adequacy target set for each district, and that if you can get every district to that adequacy target, then you've got a fair funding formula. And then beyond that, if a district wants to spend more, that's cool. But, you know, Pennsylvania is not near that point at this point, at least in terms of some of the analysis that's been done about what would be an adequate level of funding.
So we don't have a formula in Pennsylvania.
That's
right. What do we have?
So we have money that's driven out really based on kind of a historical baseline and on what happened last year. And this has really been true for most of the years since the 1990s, when Pennsylvania for a number of years before that time had a funding formula that was based on factors like enrollment and something called aid ratio and so on. Mm-hmm. Now it's really, okay, this is what you got last year and we're going to bump it up by, you know, so many percent and maybe put a little extra in for this or that.
You know, Paul, some people say that the status quo, this, you know, lack of a formula that you've just described, actually, you know, isn't that bad, that the way that the money is doled out is by and large fine. It sends more money to poorer districts and less money to wealthy districts. One of those people is Steve Miskin, longtime spokesman for Republican leaders in the House of Representatives. Currently, he speaks for Speaker of the House Mike Terzai and Majority Leader Dave Reed.
What should a formula do? It should ensure that the wealthier districts get less money and the poor districts, not as wealthy districts, receive more funding. And that's exactly what the current formula and the formula, as long as I've been involved in state government, that's what it's always done. A lot of the people that are complaining about the formula, really, that's their code word for saying they just want more money. And again, it goes back to more money doesn't necessarily equate a better education. You need to look at the quality of the service.
Is Steve Miskin making a valid point here?
A couple of problems, I think, with his argument. One is that he doesn't really talk about the issue of adequacy. And I think, you know, that's one of the central arguments that people who are pushing for a fair funding formula are focusing on, is that you need to have enough money in play so that you're actually getting districts close to the level that, of what they need to adequately, to give all their students a shot at meeting state standards. And, you know, we clearly are far from that in Pennsylvania.
So to put it bluntly, though, Paul, when you were listening to that, where was your BS meter? How high?
It's pretty high. I guess it's absolutely right that Pennsylvania's formula does drive more money toward wealthy districts than toward poor districts. I don't think there's not a state in the U.S. that sends more money to wealthy districts than to poor districts. So, yes, on that basic level, Steve Miskin is right. Pennsylvania is sending more money to poor districts than to wealthy districts. That's what funding formulas are supposed to do, and it does that. I think funding formulas should be judged on how well they do that and how well they do at ensuring that every district has an adequate level of funding. And that's where I think Miskin is missing the mark.
So there is a bipartisan commission that's been traveling the state and studying this idea of a funding formula. They're looking at things like, should there be extra money sent to districts that just have more kids, enrollment, that have more special education kids, more English language learners, higher poverty? What do you think about this commission? Who are they? What are they doing? What are your hopes?
So the commission is, it's changed a little in the last couple of months. The commission has 12 legislators, and it's also got three people on it who are from the current administration. So the Corbett people are off, and the Governor Wolf has three representatives on the commission now. They're supposed to come out with a report by June, and that may drive changes in how funding is given out in Pennsylvania, but it's still up to the legislature and the governor to figure out what to do with all that. I think one of the big questions about what the commission does, what they come up with, is whether they end up focusing just on what's the fairest way to divide up the money that's in play right now, or whether they look at the issue of adequacy, whether they look at what is the level of funding that would be needed and how do we get there. And I think, you know, there's some concern on the part of groups that are focused on the adequacy issue that they're just going to look at tinkering with how to divvy up the money that's in play.
Yeah, one of those folks I talked to was Donna Cooper, who's executive director of Public Citizens for Children and Youth. I mean, she was talking about it as if it was a foregone conclusion that they're not going to be making that judgment about how much money should be spent.
But they will not be saying, in general, it will cost us about $8,000 for the average student and probably closer to $16,000 for kids who are very poor and face many barriers to learning. Because if they did that, they'd have to sum that up across the 1.2 million students across the state, and it would result in a pretty large number, somewhere between $3 and $4 billion, in new state spending. And because the commission was established in a way that was resistant to new investment, they are not going to answer that question.
Well, Paul, we should note here that Pennsylvania's constitution requires these words that have been mulled over for so long. Thorough and efficient education. Yeah. There's been this debate about exactly what does that mean. What do you think it means?
It's not terribly clear what it means. I think what's new in the game is that for the last several years, really since the No Child Left Behind law was passed in 2002, the state has become much more explicit about these are the standards, this is the bar that students have to reach. And for students graduating with the class of 2017, there are actually Keystone exams that specify what that bar is that students in English, math, and biology have to pass that test in order to graduate. So
the argument would be, since you've said this is what you have to know to pass high school, this is what we should consider a thorough and efficient education.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's actually the basis of this newer lawsuit from the Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia and the Education Law Center that, you know, made the governor and the legislature and the Department of Education defendants in this case that said, you know, you haven't lived up to this constitutional promise.
That's exactly right. And they do focus on the thorough and efficient language. There is a second aspect to their argument, which is about the Equal Protection Clause and the fact that districts across the state vary tremendously in their ability to provide resources for education.
So what's the status of this case right now?
So the suit was filed and was pretty promptly shot down by Commonwealth Court. They threw it out, and the attorneys for the plaintiffs were not surprised by that. There's a precedent in the state Supreme Court that this is not a matter for this is a matter for the legislature. It's not a matter for the courts to decide what a thorough and efficient education is.
There was a lawsuit in the 90s that essentially tried to say the same things, and the courts came back and said exactly that, right?
That's right, that the legislature has to decide what an adequate level of funding is, that's not something that the courts should get into. So I guess it was no surprise that a lower court would have to follow the wording of the precedent of a previous decision by the Supreme Court. And so that's what has happened. And the plaintiffs are preparing right now to file an appeal with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The composition of the Supreme Court is changing, so it's not the same judges by any means who ruled on this case, on this issue in the 1990s. There are several seats turning over in the Supreme Court. So
in this election coming up.
Yes. So it's up for grabs as far as the composition of the court and what that will mean in terms of the outcome of this case.
Are you trying to say, Paul, that courts don't decide things based on the merits of the case, but they're somehow driven based on elections and politically?
It seems that happens from time to time, yes.
And with that, we'll conclude this episode of Multiple Choices. Paul Sokolar, editor and publisher of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.